You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, students and faculty at the University of Wisconsin-Superior protested after 25 programs were cut. Now, emails from the school's lawyers showed that those administrators didn't seek input or guidance from staff leading up to that decision. We'll learn more coming up. Right now, the number of criminal offenders that Wisconsin monitors with GPS devices has roughly doubled over the last 5 years. But the devices come with their share of technical issues. A lost signal or a dead battery can trigger police alerts and lead to more jail time. In a new series called Losing Track, the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism looks into what the program is costing the state and how it affects people trying to reintegrate into society. Dee Hall is the co-founder and managing editor for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, and Riley Vetterkind was a reporter with the center. They talked to Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson last week.
Dee, let's start with who's wearing these GPS tracking devices, or ankle bracelets as they're known. What sort of convictions can require that someone wear a tracking device after incarceration?
So most of these would be sex offenders, and some of these offenders have actually completed their sentences, including any probation or parole, and they are on what's called lifetime monitoring. And then there are some other folks who are on for other reasons, but that would be the vast majority of the 1,258 or so offenders who were on monitoring as of last month.
And Riley, the GPS tracking devices come with a lot of rules for offenders that wear them. And you found that oftentimes violations of those rules aren't necessarily the person's fault. What are some of the things that can go wrong with these trackers?
So from what offenders have told me, a lot of times they'll end up being told by corrections officials that they're in places where they're not located. Some really extreme cases that I've been told, I haven't been able to independently confirm, have been satellite points that are as far as Ontario, Canada, for some offenders in northern Wisconsin. But the more typical case is, being too close to a public park or being too close to another zone off limits, like a public library, for instance, in the case of one offender, where maybe they're just driving past, going about their business, and then the police show up at their door an hour later when they get back home.
And so those are instances where they are either somewhere, maybe briefly, where they're technically not supposed to be, or the information is wrong saying where they are. But then, Riley, you looked at the month of May 2017 as a snapshot of the program, and there was a large amount of lost signal alerts or technical issues during that period of time. So what kind of things can cause, for instance, a signal saying that the offender is tampering with their ankle bracelet and they're not, or that it's been disconnected?
Mm-hmm. So with the instance of tampering, a lot of times what we've seen is these devices, which aren't regularly replaced by the Department of Corrections, can end up just wearing out. And then there's a band that is supposed to detect any tampering. And sometimes just with age, it will start shorting out and telling the Department of Corrections that the offender is tampering with it. And upon several inspections in records that we've been provided from police departments, these police officers have noted that there's no evidence of tampering, but rather that, this has to be a technical malfunction.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that sometimes it shows up that the unit is not sending the information, it's either because of a bad battery or because we've all been in places where cell reception is really bad, and it's the same technology, right?
Yeah, that's a huge problem for offenders I've talked to in northern Wisconsin, where cell reception is especially weak. They go out to try to, go meet with friends at a cafe or something, and then they get called multiple times by the Department of Corrections saying, you've lost a signal, or they'll even be at their home, and they'll get these calls telling them to step outside in a thunderstorm, for instance. That's what one offender told me. And they'll call and call and call until they can finally, get the confirmation that they are, in fact, located in their home.
I think we should add, too, about satellite is the other way that the other technology that's in play here, and anybody who has used a GPS knows that they're actually made to be outside, right? Mm-hmm. And so people who are inside can end up losing satellite signals, and it'll make it look as though they're not at home where they're supposed to be, or they're not at their job or whatever. Right. And so that's another thing that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm. And Dee, what do we know about how much this GPS tracking program costs the state on an annual basis?
that's about $9.7 million a year, but that does not include the costs of jailing offenders, either correctly or incorrectly, depending on whether you believe they have false alerts. But that is the cost of the monitoring center as well as the devices themselves.
And this is something that's actually increased in the last several years, isn't it?
Yeah, we've actually doubled the number of offenders. 5 years ago, we looked at the same issue, and we identified some of these same problems, and there was a little bit of talk in the legislature that they were going to do something about it. They haven't. We asked for any records, any audits, any reports where they'd analyzed the accuracy and the effectiveness of the technology, and they were unable to provide us any records that showed that they had actually looked at that. So that was 5 years ago. Here it is 5 years later. Some of the same problems are still cropping up, and the size of the program has doubled.
We're talking with Riley Vedderkind and Dee Hall from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism about a piece called Losing Track that looks into the state's GPS monitoring of criminal offenders. And Riley, one of the things that people point to with the GPS tracking system is that it lets offenders out of incarceration and gets them reintegrated into society. But the reality for a lot of these offenders is not that they're able to successfully reintegrate. What are some of the challenges that these problems with the system pose for them?
Well, the problem when offenders get out, you know, you'd think that a lot of them would, and many of them are certainly happy to be out of jail eventually, but what many of them have told me is that because of the unpredictability of this system, because at any moment the police could show up at their door due to something that's, you know, likely not their fault and take them back to jail, that's really jarring. You know, I had one offender who is really trying his best, he lives in Madison here, really trying his best to be involved in the community. He just was hired as a peer support specialist at EMUM in Madison. He told me that it's been so hard on his family to always have to never know when he could be taken back. I mean, with so many violations, you know, there's always a chance that his parole could be revoked and he could be sent back to jail, and it's, you know, really not up to him to have any say in that. So the unpredictability is really tough for these offenders who are just trying to integrate back into the community.
And I should say, too, when we looked at just that 1 month of data, we did it because there were so many alerts that go off every single month. But just in the month of May, this past May, there were 56,853 alerts for 895 offenders for lost cell service. That's an average of 64 times for each of these offenders. Now, they didn't call each of them each time, but there is a chance that if they cannot regain cell signal from these offenders, if they can't reach them, which they try to call them on the cell phone or a landline, the Department of Corrections can take them into custody for up to 3 days until they figure out what happened. So that is what Riley's talking about. And then for people who are still on probation or parole, this could be considered a violation of that, and they could have to serve the rest of their sentence in prison.
So, Dee, how does the state ultimately measure success of this program? Do they have benchmarks, and are they meeting them?
We are not aware of any benchmarks. They've not given us any. I think the ultimate goal is they feel like the public is safer knowing where these offenders are, and that is their goal. And I guess our story just raises questions about at what cost, and is it really helping any of these offenders reintegrate?
And Riley, you spoke with several criminal justice experts that study GPS tracking systems like this. What do they have to say about whether the data shows that they are worth the cost or not?
So studies on the effectiveness of GPS, especially in reducing recidivism rates, is especially mixed. What researchers have found, and a lot of research was being done on this between 2010 and 2015, when these systems were being rolled out a lot more. What they're telling me is that recidivism does decline slightly, but only for administrative violations. So that's instances of reporting the address at which you live, you know, keeping your personal information updated in the system. Very minor things like that really don't have too much to do with more severe instances of actual criminal reoffending.
And I think it's fair to say, too, that there's been a common thought, wisdom, that sex offenders are more likely to reoffend, that they're incorrigible, that they cannot be rehabilitated. And the studies show that that's actually not particularly true. They're no more and sometimes less likely to reoffend than other offenders. And so keeping them away from parks and schools seems like a really good idea, but it's not necessarily addressing the issue. If they are to reoffend, statistics show that it would most likely be a child or an individual whom they already know.
And many people have told me, you know, in the police community, that by the time, you know, alert would go off, or if an offender was in a public park, the crime would likely be committed by the time that the police showed up, because, you know, a police response in some rural counties could be up to an hour in Marinette County, for instance, where everything is just so spread apart.
And Dee, as we wrap up, as you mentioned earlier, the center looked at this 5 years ago, and there was hope that maybe this information would lead to some changes in the system. And you said that nothing really happened then. Are there hopes now? Is there anyone, for instance, in the legislature who might be a champion for this?
It's really hard to say. I mean, there's almost no public sympathy for sex offenders except among sex offenders and their families. And so it is not a cause that most people take up willingly as a political issue. So I really don't know. I think we have heard from some offenders that whom we talked to 5 years ago, that for them, some of the technical issues have gotten ironed out and they have not been thrown in jail quite as often. So that's a hopeful sign that maybe the technology is getting better. It seems to be getting better. But in terms of somebody championing it, I don't know if that will actually happen.
Well, Riley, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Dee, always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Dee Hall is managing editor of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And Riley Vetterkind was formerly with the center. He's now a reporter for WisPolitics.com. They talked to Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson about Losing Track, a series looking into the state's GPS monitoring of criminal offenders.